our morning is going to be a little different than normal. We're not going to have a formal message per se. Jay Stolzfus's cell group has agreed to take the service for us this morning, and they are going to incorporate our worship time into that service. So I'm going to turn it over to Jay at this time and let them take it from here, and I will close after our worship service. Jay?
My son just asked me if I'm going to be up here a long time. I hope not. A quick comment here before I get into the worship part. You won't see our whole cell group up here, but that doesn't mean they weren't a part of the planning and praying preparation for this morning. So even though you won't see them all, they were all a part of it. I trust this morning that you're still in the Thanksgiving mode, if I can call it that. I get a little miffed at Black Friday because it just rams out Thanksgiving and here comes Christmas, and okay, what was Thanksgiving? So I trust this morning that we're out of the Black Friday mode, that we're still in the Thanksgiving mode, and that we're here to give thanks this morning. And yet, as Christians, the two seasons, Thanksgiving and Christmas, do go hand in hand. And the fact that as we remember what we're thankful for, the greatest blessing that we have is Christ who came. And we celebrate that at Christmas. This morning, we want to invite you to worship, to consider the blessings that God has blessed you with, and to let God guide your heart into a spirit of thanksgiving and worship, not only for the good things, material blessings, but for spiritual blessings, for maybe even perhaps some of the difficult things in your life. And I hope you can be drawn to Christ this morning. Let's render to God the sacrifice of praise. I want to read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to you this morning for your blessings to us, the blessing of life and health and peace and strength. God, we're grateful for the blessings of salvation and all the things that you give us in the spiritual realm, peace. And Father, we just commit our time to you here, right now. Draw our hearts in worship to you, and may we render to you thanksgiving that comes from the bottom of our hearts. Be with us, go with us, in Jesus' name, amen. Mark Brubaker is going to be leading us in a couple songs, and after that, John will be coming forward.
Let's continue to give thanks, not only this week and today, or on Thursday, but all year through, because we do serve a mighty God. If you turn to number 634, we truly are a blessed people, and we have many, many, many reasons, every reason, as it were, to give thanks to God. 634. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from on earth over and around us lies. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that upon every shore, its pure sacrifice of love. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thyself best in divine, to our race so freely give, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Christ our God, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Sing number 632. I with Tim was reflecting a little bit this week too on some of God's great blessings, not to us as individuals, but just thinking a little bit further, the reasons to give thanks. We've had a number of infants born to our parents and our fellowship this year to give thanks for. I was made to think of the significant size youth that were baptized into our fellowship this summer. Thank you to God for being the great physician and healer, because various ones of us have had some medical and health hospital experiences, and God has given us recovery from that. I was thinking of the harvest from our fields and gardens. Looked to me like the alfalfa crops did well, the corn, soybeans, and produce in my garden, I suppose in yours too, did well. The Christian heritage that is ours, the hymns we're singing, do you realize how old some of them are? The message in them, sermons that are involved in those words, the testimonies of those who've gone before us. Where would we be as a church if we wouldn't have those to anchor our spirits and souls? So we live in a country that has abundance of food, abundance of clothing. Most of us have warm homes to live in. The relatives and friends, we were singing about that in this last song here. Truly our Father has blessed us, and we do have a lot to say thank you to God for. We have a lot of young couples attending here, joined us, and truly we do serve a great God. Thinking of God as the omniscient one, all knowledge and wisdom come from him, the omnipresent one in his being, and the omnipotent one in his power. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures forever, as Jay read there in Psalms 100. His love is unfailing, another song. His grace is without measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. Infinite in his vast domain, holy, holy is his name. And my prayer is, God, I do love you. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So join with me as we sing number 632.
I thank the Lord my Maker for all his gifts to me, for making me partaker of bounties rich and free, for Father and for Mother who give me clothes and I
I've been drafted. I am not preaching a sermon. I have limited time to share a 40-minute sermon. I invite your attention to Psalm 103, and I'll be picking out different portions here and commenting on them. I have 4 points, and we'll move through those quite rapidly. Psalm 103, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Think of this in the terms of the holiness of God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Notice especially verse 1. Bless his holy name. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Our God's a holy person who sent his Son to die on Calvary, that we may be made holy, that someday we can go to a holy place. The question that you and I face is, how does the holiness of God affect our daily living? I submit to you, and I think sometimes we are far more interested in how Papa Joe and his boys at Penn State, or how the overpaid professional football players survive, and we are about the holiness of God. I move on to verses 10 through 12, the mercy and love of God. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath removed our transgressions from us. Verse 12, removed our transgressions. Hallelujah! Removed our transgressions. We really ought to be shouting hallelujah on that one. As you go through these verses, or verse 17 is another one. For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness on the children's children. To notice the term mercy in the various forms, I can't go into that. But this whole concept, who forgives? I submit to you that one of the greatest words in the English language is forgiven. 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 Sometimes we have difficulty forgiving ourselves on that, but God did it at Calvary. And that's why we link Thanksgiving and Christmas. We have a message of redemption to share. Our Savior came. We are able to present a message of forgiveness to a world in need. The holiness of God, the mercy and love of God. Verse 19, the rule of God. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth over all, not China with its industrial development, not Iran with its determination to wipe Israel off the face of the map, not the president, the Supreme Court, the lesser courts, and not Congress. Listen, there's a lot of power in Washington, but our concern is the rule of God. Let me suggest that one of the things that we ought to be concerned about, seriously concerned about, is our nation's problem of overspending. I came across an interesting little thing from a writer. It makes it simple. Help us to realize the great problems that our government faces. Uncle Sam's financial situation is comparable to what would happen if a household bringing in $50,000 a year were lumbering under an $80,000 credit card debt. In that scenario, even making the minimum monthly payments could become an exhausting, unsustainable chore. Get the picture? Your income is $50,000. Your debt is $80,000. That helps you to understand our nation's situation. And brothers and sisters, if there's ever a time we need to pray for our government, is now. It's not going to get any worse. And the new Congress isn't going to solve all the problems. Why? Because his kingdom rules over all. The last point, verses 20 to 22, the work of God. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is personal. It's going to be very, very personal as we go down through here. In this service, yes, we're great at praising the Lord. But it's much more important after we leave these doors as to how we serve the Lord, how we minister to him. And I want to thank those of you who were involved with the Christmas Shoebox Project. Very, very important, very, very practical. But let's not stop there. I'd like to make several practical implications out of this. How are we going to bless the Lord ourselves as we leave here? Number one, I suggest let's be more vocal about sharing our faith. Did you ever get a call Betty Miller and get a telephone message? Good morning, Christ is risen, this is Betty. Wow, that's positive. That's a tremendous testimony to people who hear it. Some of us, most of us, don't have that much courage to do it. We ought to be more vocal about our faith. Second thing, let me suggest to you, let's be a little more quick to share the gospel, to do something. There are some of you who've never given somebody a tract. Well, I want to give you an opportunity. Back at your mailboxes, you will find a little box that has quite a number of these little wallet counters. And a little wallet counter is something that you can give to somebody, and they're going to appreciate it. They're not going to throw it away. On the back, four things God wants you to know. There's several little things back there as well. Help yourself. Take them. Share them with somebody. It's one way we can be a little more quick to share the gospel. A third thing that I would suggest to you is that we need to be a bit more ready to do something about world needs. World needs? Well, this is the Shoebox Project. That's helping to meet world needs. All right, we're not going to stop there. I'm asking this morning for a bit more sacrifice on our part to do just a bit more. I believe we can do something about the needs of the world. That's why I'm suggesting this. We can do a little bit. How can we do it? One person or one family at a time. As Christmas approaches, maybe we can do a little bit on several areas. Oh, let me suggest a little less fruitcake. Now, Doug will agree with that one. A little less fruitcake and a little less cookies. A little less Christmas candy. One by one less useless necktie. Or one less time eating out. Sacrifice on practical areas. All right, now, as a result, what's happened? Well, we have some money. We have $10, say. $10. Well, what can $10 do? There are a number of organizations that are needing using this approach that you can contribute $10, contribute $25 or so on, and you can buy a goat, or you can buy a couple chickens and so on. Christian Aid uses it. Heifer International uses it. And I'm going to refer just to Heifer International because I'm going to relate to Haiti. And by the way, on the subject of Haiti, for those of you who are interested, Newsweek, I don't know what the date here, a couple weeks ago, has an article, "For Haiti, No Relief in Sight." No relief in sight. Well, that's a pretty hopeless situation. I'm suggesting to you this morning that there are things that you and I can do that will help Haiti. Believe it or not, yes, help Haiti. One of the ways is trees. Heifer International mentions this. Already, 98% of Haiti has been deforested. This means floods now rage out of control. As soils are washed away, agriculture becomes impossible, and the cycle of poverty grows worse and worse and worse and worse. So what do you do? Well, we can do something about it, and that is we can probably. Heifer International is working on trees. Christian Aid is working on trees. From Christian Aid, Cam's Nursery and Resource Haiti starts orange, grapefruit, lime, mango, avocado trees from seed. Once mature, these trees are an excellent source of food for needy people. Mimosa, mahogany, pine, and eucalyptus trees are also started for wood. $1 provides 4 trees. $1! $1! 4 trees. So what? We're doing something. We're doing something in a practical way for Haiti. So I suggest this is something, this Christmas season, that you may want to ponder, you may want to pray about, and you might not only think about it, but do something about it. In conclusion, praise the Lord, O my soul, one, for the holiness of God, second, for the mercy and love of God, third, for the rule of God, God's on the throne, and fourth, for the work of God, because we have our part to do so that the Holy Spirit can do his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this service to you and we commit this thought to you. Build your church, bless your people, glorify your name. In Christ I pray. Amen.
We're borrowing another couple from another cell group. I hope that's okay. We're going to sing two songs, "We Gather Together" and "Thanks to God."
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, thou, Lord, was at our side. All glory be thine.
We
all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. Amen. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity.
Can you thank God that roses also have thorns? I believe Gary is going to have our next part. Pay attention to it.
Quick question. This is for everybody, but I'd like to see a raise of hands from the kids. How many are thankful for a warm house? Okay. How many are thankful that they had food to eat for breakfast this morning? Okay. How many are thankful they have toys? Everybody should be thankful for that. Now, are you thankful when favorite toy breaks, but you still have other toys to play with? Are you thankful that you still have other toys to play with? How many are thankful that when your favorite cereal runs out, that you still have other cereal to eat? I'm glad to see that there's people that raise their hands. Now, we all have plenty to be thankful for. Warm houses, gas to heat our houses, oil, electric, whatever you heat your house with. We have cars to drive. We have an abundance of things that a lot of things we probably really wouldn't need. Now, you might notice some stems up here. They are rose stems. Where's the roses? I have a story I'm going to read. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her Birkenstocks as she pushed against a November gust and the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like a spring breeze. Then in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over her loss. As if that weren't enough, her husband's company threatened a transfer. Then her sister, whose holiday visit she coveted, called saying she could not come. What's worse, Sandra's friend infuriated her by suggesting her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. She has no idea what I'm feeling, thought Sandra with a shudder. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what? She wondered. For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her? For an airbag that saved her life but took that of her child? Good afternoon. May I help you? The shop clerk's approach startled her. I need an arrangement, stammered Sandra, for Thanksgiving Day? Do you want beautiful but ordinary? Or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving Special? Asked the shop clerk. I'm convinced flowers tell stories, she continued. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst and was surprised when the shop clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. Then the door's small bell rang and the shop clerk said, Hi Barbara, let me get your order. She politely excused herself and walked toward a small workroom, then quickly reappeared, carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed thorny roses. Except the ends of the rose stemmed were neat snipped. There were no flowers. Want this in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched for the customer's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? She waited for laughter, but neither woman laughed. Yes, please, Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance, but I can feel it right here all over again, she said as she gently tapped her chest. Stammered Sandra. That lady just left with... She just left with no flowers. Right, said the clerk. I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet. Oh, come on, you can't tell me someone is willing to pay for that, exclaimed Sandra. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago feeling much like you feel today, explained the clerk. She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer, the family business was failing, her son was into drugs, and she was facing major surgery. That same year, I had lost my husband, continued the clerk, and for the first time in my life, had just spent the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel. So what did you do? Asked Sandra. I learned to be thankful for thorns, answered the clerk quietly. I've always thanked God for good things in life, and never to ask him those good things happened to me. But when bad stuff hit, did I ever ask? It took time for me to learn that dark times are important. I've always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from his consolation we learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the very thing her friend had tried to tell her. I guess the truth is, I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby, and I'm angry with God. Just then, someone else walked in the shop. Hey, Phil, shouted the clerk to the balding rotund man. My wife sent me in to get our usual Thanksgiving arrangement. 12 thorny, long-stemmed stems, laughed Phil, as the clerk handed him a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerator. Those are for your wife? Asked Sandra incredulously. Do you mind me asking why she wants something that looks like that? No. I'm glad you asked, Phil replied. 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After 40 years, we were in a real mess. But with the Lord's grace and guts, we slogged through problem after problem. He rescued our marriage. Jenny here told me she kept a vase of rose stems to remind her of what she learned from thorny times, and it's good enough for me. I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific problem and give thanks for what that problem taught us. As Phil paid the clerk, he said to Sandra, I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life, Sandra said to the clerk. It's all too fresh. Well, the clerk replied carefully, My experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so we might know his love. Don't resent the thorns. Tears rolled down Sandra's cheeks. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. I'll take those 12 long-stem thorns, please, she managed to choke out. I hoped you would, said the clerk gently. I'll have them ready in a minute. Thank you. What do I owe you? Sarah asked. Nothing. Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me. The clerk smiled and handed a card to Sandra. I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you would like to read it first. It read, My God, I have never thanked you for my thorns. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the life I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that, through my tears, the colors of your rainbow look much more brilliant. Praise him for your roses. Thank him for your thorns. Like I said, it's pretty easy to be thankful for things that we have. It's pretty difficult to be thankful for, I've found, to be thankful for things that aren't easy. Things that happen, things that break, people pass on, we lose loved ones. But remember to be thankful for your thorns.
I'd like to end our worship service this morning with a couple songs. Turn to number 6. Number 6. I appreciate my roses having flowers on, but there's one thing I don't quite understand. Most roses you buy today don't have an aroma to them. That disappoints me. I like to smell roses that have an aroma to them, too. But I guess some people with their allergies and so forth, they have bred the roses now. There's not much of an aroma to them. So we have some at home, though, that still do that. Number 6. Worthy art thou, Lord divine, to receive this praise of mine, to receive this grateful praise of mine. Mercy hast thou shown to me, and my soul delights in thee. Joyfully my soul delights in thee. Lord, I thank thee for thy love. Draw my heart to thine above. True and faithful Lord, I be. Jesus, draw me close to thee.
Let's stand up and sing about us staying the same second verse.
From the dawn of my first day, thou hast led me all the way. God is called and kept me all the way. And my life but thou didst give, that forever I may live, that with thee forever I may live. Lord, I thank thee for thy love. Draw thy heart to thine above.
Turn to number 633. Praise to God, immortal praise, for the love that crowns our days. Bounteous source of every joy, let thy praise our tongues employ. For the of the field, for the soul.
All that's sprayed with bounteous hand, scatters o'er the smiling land. All that liberal autumn pours from her overflowing stores. These great God to
verse in Psalms 106 that means a lot to me. It's actually a prayer of David. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. There's a purpose put down. The purpose is to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. What a triumph we have to experience now, but even greater yet, to triumph when our redemption is completed and we're delivered from the presence of sin. I don't know if you thought of your redemption not being completed yet, but to me there's still an aspect of fulfillment yet that I look forward to, and that is to be redeemed from the presence of sin, to be with our Lord and our God forever. Another thought I has already reflected on Thanksgiving, I'd have to confess it's easy to yield to temptation. I'm sure if you're with me, we've done that at times too, but I want to thank God for the times that we have it, the spiritual victories that we've won throughout this past year. And God grants the power to have more experiences of victory in the future too. I'd like to close yet with a verse from Revelation. We've sung it many a time. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to doxology.